Today's Torah portion, B'halotcha, when you set up, I think is pretty neatly divided into two sections. The first section is about what is on God's heart. And what is on God's heart? This is in Numbers, Bamidbar, starting at chapter 8. So chapter 8, verses 1 through 4, what's on God's heart? What is God commanding? The menorah, like we read in the Torah portion today, that the menorah would shine its light. After that, we have the setting apart of the Levites for the priesthood. And beginning in chapter 9, the celebrating of the Passover, remember where you've come from, how I brought you out with a strong hand and an outstretched arm. Remember these things by celebrating the Passover. And so we have their second Passover celebration, the first one in the desert, and the second one since being in Egypt. And then the cloud of the Lord guiding us through the desert, the pillar of fire by night, the pillar of cloud by day, guiding us through the desert. These are all beautiful, wonderful things, aren't they? Chapter 10 starts with the command to build silver trumpets, to sound those trumpets for the mobilization of the camp to move forward, right? You have that many people out in the wilderness, you need to know how we're moving forward, ways to communicate. Sound the silver trumpets for that, and when you're in the land, you sound the silver trumpets to bring the people in to celebrate the Moedim, the feasts. These are beautiful, wonderful things that are on God's heart. Starting at Numbers chapter 11, we get a taste of what's on our heart. And it's not pretty. The mixed multitude that was among them lusted exceedingly. And the children of Israel also wept again and said, "Who will give us meat to eat?" Right? Where's the nearest McDonald's? We remember the fish which we ate in Egypt for nothing, and the McCucumbers, and the melons, and the leeks, and the onions, and the garlic. But now we have lost our appetite. There's nothing at all except this manna to look at. All right? So we go from the cloud, the glory of the Lord guiding us through the desert, the light of the beautiful golden menorah, the silver trunk, all these beautiful, wonderful things. The desire of God to dwell in us is made possible by the Levitical the descendants of Aaron, their sacrifices, and they're making atonement so that God can dwell in our midst. And we're concerned, not even with our stomachs, we're concerned with these little bumps on our tongue called taste buds, right? So we go from this grand, beautiful vision to, I'm sick of manna, right? There's got to be something around here, Taco Bell, something. I'm tired of manna, right? And so it's not pretty. In Numbers 12, we get another not-so-pretty vision, understanding, revelation of what's on our heart. Numbers chapter 12, starting at verse 1. Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Cushite woman whom he had married. For he had married a Cushite woman. They said, "Has the Lord indeed spoken only with Moses? Hasn't he spoken also with us?" And the Lord heard it. So a little racism going on, a little vying for position going on. Why is Moses in charge? After all, he's the younger brother, right? Aaron and Miriam are older. Moses, the baby brother, why is he leading us? Now the man Moses was very humble, more than all the men who were on the surface of the earth. The Lord spoke suddenly to Moses, to Aaron, and to Miriam. "You three come out to the tent of meeting." The three of them came out. The Lord came down in the pillar of cloud and stood at the tent, at the door of the tent, and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forward. He said, "Now hear my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known to him in a vision. I will speak with him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so. He is faithful in all my house. With him I will speak mouth to mouth, even plainly and not in riddles. and he shall see the Lord's form. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant, against Moses? The Lord's anger burned against them, and he departed. When left to our natural selves, these are the things we're concerned about: our stomachs and our position. Am I getting the honor I deserve? Did I get the promotion I deserve? Did I get for dinner what I wanted for dinner? Chicken again? Come on, Mom. And you didn't even put your stuff on it this time. You just threw it in the oven, pulled it out, dinner. And meanwhile, we're concerned about these things and we're missing the bigger picture. We're missing the bigger picture. And the bigger picture is not just that God wants to dwell with us, not just that his glory is with us, but that we have a calling because of that glory upon us to be the light to the earth. Israel was set apart. Why? So Israel alone could be holy? No. So that in Israel's holiness, in Israel's being a set apart for the for God, that the other nations could see. Right? Read Deuteronomy chapter 4, for example. You'll see this. And God needs to be glorified. Not that God needs it, but we need to see him glorified. The earth needs to see how great our God is, because in him and in him alone is the hope of the whole world. Matthew 5, 13 through 16. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its flavor, with what will it be salted? This makes no sense to us nowadays, but back in the day, salt came from the Dead Sea, and it was full of impurities, and if it got a little moist and the salt dissolved, you're left with impurities. It's not good for nothing, right? You throw it out on the street. It is good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden under the feet of men. I just said that. You are the light of the world. A city located on a hill can't be hidden. Neither do you light a lamp and put it under a measuring basket, but on a stand, and it shines to all who are in the house. Even so, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Right? So you have things in your home for a particular purpose, right? And if your lamp goes out, you don't keep it around so it can make you breakfast or mow your lawn, right? It's broken. It doesn't do what it was meant for anymore. You toss it out, right? What are we meant for? We are meant to be salt and light in the world. And that totally gets diminished when we are concerned about our taste buds and our position. When we grumble, when we argue, when we fight. Philippians 2:14 and following. Do all things without complaining and arguing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without defect in the middle of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you are seen as lights in the world, holding up the word of life. You are lights in the world. And we don't look any different than the rest of the world. However holy we try to make ourselves sound, whatever holy music we listen to, whatever candidate we vote for, we've lost our holiness when we complain and we argue. Because in the complaining and in the arguing, the focus is no longer on God, it's on us, right? I didn't get what I deserved. Of course, none of us got what we deserved, really. If we got what we deserved, it wouldn't be pretty, okay? But we have that mindset sometimes. I didn't get what I deserved. Why are they the worship leader? Why are they the rabbi? Why did they get the promotion and I didn't? Things like that. So we can't do that. Then the focus is on us, right? We focus in on the Lord and on his glory, right? Every week, Rabbi brings rice to Oneg. I'm tired of rice. At least bring something to flavor it with, Rabbi, right? And so, but okay, this week I didn't bring rice. I forgot to bring anything at all. But anyway, we grumble about things and the focus is lost, right? We experience God today in the worship. I did. I hope you did, right? Experiencing God in the worship. Experiencing God as we're reading the the Torah and the Haftorah and the Brit Chadasha portions, experiencing God even in the liturgy. We can experience God, but when we grumble, when we complain, we lose it. We lose it. And we think, well, who are those who lose their saltiness? Who are those who lose the light? Oh, it's the liberal people who say it's okay to abort babies and who say it's okay for men to marry men and things like that that are definitely against the word of God. I agree with you. That is a definite losing of our light, right? Because it goes against the order of God. But look, in this portion, in this Torah portion, those who are complaining and grumbling are not the pagan kings and queens or the pagan priests. It's not even the rebels within Israel who try to stir things up against Moses. It's Aaron and Miriam. It's our high priest and our worship leader stirring up things because they've gotten self-focused. And so none of us are immune from this, right? We can't point the finger and say, they've lost their light, they've lost their light, they're not doing things right, they don't understand Torah right. This, we've got to understand that we are not immune to this ourselves. It's the complaining and the grumbling that we have to be careful about. It's the self-focus we have to be careful about. And how are we to be careful about it? I want to give you three ways that can guard our lives so that we maintain the proper focus on the glory of the Lord. And when we maintain that focus, we are the lights to the world. Way number one is we've got to continue steadfastly in prayer. That's Colossians 4:2 says, continue steadfastly in prayer. And Ephesians 6 says the same thing. Pray at all times, right, in the Spirit. We've got to be in prayer. And how do we pray? All right, let's take a new look at the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6, verses 9 through 13. Pray like this: Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. Bring us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Okay, so this is the Lord's Prayer. And this is a dynamic prayer that we sometimes just say because we've memorized it and we check it off our to-do list. We can't do that. This prayer puts us in right focus because it doesn't say, Lord, where's the McDonald's? Doesn't complain, Lord, I'm tired of the manna. Doesn't say, Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes-Benz? None of that stuff. It says, Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. Right? Do you see the focus right from the beginning of the prayer is on God's holiness and on God's kingdom. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. If you pray this prayer with meaning, you mean it. You pray with what we call in Hebrew, kavanah, heartfelt intent. You are in there. You've got it. Because it's not grumbling and complaining before God. It's saying, God, I want your will to be done. I want your name to be glorified. I want to submit to these things. And then after we do that, come the simple requests, right? Give us today our daily bread. If it's manna again, that's okay. If it's man again tomorrow, that's okay, because it's not about me, it's about you. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Bring us not into temptation. Deliver us from the evil one. Guide us, O Lord. See the humility in this prayer. Not demanding things of God, but these simple, reverential requests. After we make sure we have the right focus, it's on His kingdom and not on ourselves. If you have trouble in your prayer life, I have a very practical, useful tool to help you, and I've already talked to many of you about this. It's our prayer guide on our website, right? ShalomNorthFlorida.com. You go over to the More tab, click down. One of the first ones there is daily prayer. Okay? If you already have a dynamic prayer life and don't need it, that's great. But if you are having trouble with that, use the prayer guide. Because it starts you out with worship. And then it goes into thankfulness. And then it goes into asking for cleansing and forgiveness of sins. Then declaring God's kingdom. And then it goes into prayers for yourself, prayers for your family, prayers for your congregation, prayers for your loved one, prayers for Israel, right? And it sounds like a lot, but if you're in a hurry, you can get through that prayer guide in less than 15 minutes. Not that I'm not saying you should, but if that's where you are right now spiritually, you can't keep your attention for more than 15 minutes, start with that. But there are blank spaces there, right? Lord, I praise you for, and there's a blank space. Lord, I thank you for, and there's this blank space. And let the Spirit of God guide you in those times to praise him and to thank him and to lead you in an intercessory prayer for others. It's there for a guide for you if that'll help you. And so there's no excuse. We all need to be in prayer. We need to be in prayer. That's the first way to keep our focus on the Lord. The second way is to be diligent in our Bible study. Psalm 119, I'm not going to read the whole thing. As you know, it's the longest psalm, the longest chapter in the entire Bible. I'm going to pull out a little portion here, verse 65 through 72. The whole thing is about love for God's Word, right? The longest chapter in the Bible is about love for God's Word, His Torah, His commandments. Do good to your servant according to your word, Lord. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believe in your commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I observe your word. You are good and do good. Teach me your statutes. The proud have smeared a lie upon me. With my whole heart, I will keep your precepts. Their heart is as callous as the fat, but I delight in your Torah. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. Do you see the extreme contrast between the psalmist here and and our people in today's Torah portion? In today's Torah portion, we are whining because we're sick of the manna. We're whining because little baby brother Moses is in charge of us. And he married the wrong woman, in our opinion, right? And so we're complaining, we're whining, we're judging, we're sick of the manna. And the psalmist, on the other hand, says, it was good for me that I was afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. What a difference. What a difference. Thank you, Lord, for the struggles in Egypt, because of that we were able to see your great victory. Thank you that you allowed us to become thirsty, because then we can give you thanks when the water flows out of the rock. Boy, what a different story it would have been if we would have had this attitude in the desert. Or if we continue to have this attitude today, and we get it by meditating on your word. By loving the word of the Lord so much that if affliction brings us closer to God through his word, let it come. Let it come. Hopefully we're humble enough that we don't need the affliction. But sometimes we need the affliction to humble us, right? So we need to meditate day and night, as Psalm 1 teaches us, right? Meditate day and night. Joshua chapter 1. Meditate, Joshua, on the Torah day and night. Day and night. Let the Word of God realign your focus. So instead of being focused on your belly and your taste buds, or focused on your promotion, or whatever the case might be, focused on your sexual drive. I'm telling you, there's no cure for lust than opening up that Word of God and diving in. It gets your mind off of that stuff, and it gets your mind on the Lord, right? So enter into that Bible study, enter into that prayer time. It's good for us. It focuses on the Lord again. You're having trouble maybe getting into the Word of God. You can go to our website, shalomnorthflorida.com. Go to the More tab, click down. There's a little guide on how to get something out of the Bible and to really learn from it. Okay? Follow those steps. and if you're having trouble. It's something that you'll grow in, right? If you're not good at it now, and you open up that Bible, you don't get a whole lot out of it, doesn't mean the next day you give up. You keep going and going, and you will learn to hear the voice of the Lord in the Bible. I guarantee it. And if you continue to struggle with that, come see me or one of the other mature believers. Will help you, right? Go on to our website. I've got a running blog on the book of Matthew. Okay, read that, and that might help a little bit, although it's moving slowly, right? So already been at it for 4 or 5 weeks, and we're barely through half a chapter. So that shouldn't really be your Bible time. That won't be enough, right? But that can be added into what you're doing. But we want to help you, right? We're here to help you in your spiritual life, in your prayer life, in your Bible study life. Which leads me into the third way for us to keep our eyes on the Lord instead of on ourselves. Hebrews 3, verses 12 and 13. Beware, brothers, lest perhaps there might be in any one of you an evil heart of unbelief and falling away from the living God. But exhort one another day by day, so long as it is called today, lest any one of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Okay, what's the problem? Problem's the same thing it's always been. Unbelief. Lack of trust. Lack of focus on the Lord. A hardened heart. An evil heart of unbelief. Falling away from the living God. Hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. These are the problems. And what, in this particular portion, does the writer of Hebrews say the answer to the problem is? Exhort one another day by day. You need community. We need it to be a community that exhorts one another, doesn't condemn one another, but encourages one another. Hebrews 10, 24 through 25. Let's consider how to provoke one another to love and good works. Not forsaking our own assembling together, as the custom of some is, but exhorting, there's that word again, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Look, we're not called to a lone wolf religion. We're not. This idea that spirituality is just between me and God is a part of the picture. But it's only a part of the picture. God did not call you to be the only true believer around, or to be the only one with whom you fellowship. Who do you fellowship with? Me, myself, and I doesn't cut it, right? That you are called into a family. And the expression of that family is the local congregation. And the job of the local congregation is to exhort one another, not just to listen to the rabbi, but to encourage one another. And how can we do that in practical ways? We can call one another. Hey, I haven't seen you at synagogue for a week or two. Just wanted to call, make sure everything's all right. Is there anything I can pray with you for? Hey, do you need a ride to services? And what about this? What about the fact that we are too shy to speak about what the Lord is doing in our lives with one another? We are great at telling one another, and I don't just mean this congregation, I just mean American believers in general. We are great at telling one another about a great new restaurant we found, right? Or what's happening on whatever TV shows are out nowadays. What about, hey, look at what the Lord spoke to me when I was reading in the Bible this week. That exhorts somebody. That comforts somebody. That encourages us. Hey, I want to get in the Word too. Right? Let's encourage one another. And let's keep in mind that word exhorting. It doesn't mean that if somebody gets wrapped up in themselves, we say, hey, you're wrapped up in yourself. Knock it off. Right? We exhort one another. And how do we do that? We gently unwrap what they're going through. And say, you're forgetting the bigger picture, right? I did that with somebody before, just so wrapped up in his problems. complaining about this, and it, quite frankly, he was going through some really difficult things. But that's all I was hearing, right? And so I said to him, look, these are real things. But what you're going through pales in comparison to the glory of the Lord that has shined upon you. Do you remember the anointing of the Lord you felt at that meeting? Do you remember what the Lord spoke to you? Do you remember that he died for your sins and rose from the dead? Do you remember that he chose you? And like that, you know what, Josh? You're right. I've been focused on me, just like the children of Israel. And I should be, he didn't say it in these words, but I should be like the psalmist who says, oh Lord, even if affliction comes to bring me closer to you, then thank you for it, right? I've been wrapped up in myself. And so we've got to gently encourage one another. Hey, let's pray about that. Don't just complain. Let's pray about it. Let's pray about it. Let's get our eyes back on where they need to be, because you are called to be a light to this world. You are called to be salt to this world. You have a phenomenal, major, honorable calling on your life. What should I do with my life? We hear it all the time. We say it all the time. I spent a long time wondering, Lord, what do I do with my life? Well, the main thing you do with your life is you be salt and you be light. Right? How do I do that? How do I do that? Get into prayer. Get into the Bible study. Get into fellowship. And then it's going to come naturally. And if the Lord opens up ministry positions for you, or you just go to work and people see the light of your countenance and you're able to give glory to the Lord, you exhort others in the congregation, you are going to be salt and light. If you do these things and receive these things and keep your focus on the Lord instead of on yourself. Avinu Malkeinu, our Father, our King, we worship you, for you have set us apart to be the receivers of the message of Messiah that saves, that by his blood our sins are forgiven, that by his resurrection we have the victory and we have eternal life. And we have in these clay vessels, these earthen vessels, we have the outpouring of the very Spirit of God. And we forget the glory of these things because we're tired of the stupid rice Rabbi keeps bringing in. And Lord God, we want instead to be changed, to remember this is about glorifying the Lord. I am called. I'm set apart to be a light in this world. Let me focus in on that. Lord, we love you so much. We want to shine the light that we've received. We want to share with others the mercy, the deep mercy we've received. And we do this, Lord God, by taking our eyes off ourselves and on to you through prayer, through meditating on your word, and through being in fellowship with one another, exhorting others and receiving their exhortation. In Yeshua's name we all say, Amen.